back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, as always, with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going well. We are in the midst of the, not even in the midst, we're almost to the official beginning of spring. We just had daylight savings this past weekend. Obviously, we sprung ahead, as the old saying goes. Nice extra hour of sunlight, but the time difference has been really screwing me up with getting up in the morning. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you felt like that all week, but every single time I've tried to get out of bed this week has been an absolute struggle.
I had a hard time falling asleep Monday night. Sunday night was fine, but Monday night, yeah. I could not fall asleep.
And I was like, I was up pretty late on Saturday too. I guess I was up until 3 a.m., but obviously it jumps from 1:59 to 3. So I guess mm-hmm. I was technically up until 4 a.m., but it's been a little bit of a topsy-turvy week, but, I think it's good that now we're obviously at Wednesday. We're at the back nine of this week, as we can say. And we have a very special thing to look forward to tomorrow, which will be the main focus of our episode tonight. If you're a Flyers fan, if you're not a Flyers fan, it's a hell of a night tomorrow that's going to happen. And it's going to be bittersweet. It's going to be sad. It's going to be happy. It's going to be just emotional in general. But in case you don't know what I'm talking about, tomorrow night, Flyers longtime captain and career player Claude Giroux will reach his 1,000th game played in the NHL. And Dave, I'll give you the talking stick here to give us the rundown of what's going to happen. But it's going to be an absolute celebration by the Flyers, something that obviously Giroux deserves wholeheartedly. And I mean, just I'll let you take it away.
Yeah. So not only is it the 1,000th game, we will also be attending the game in person. So we probably will not be doing in-game tweets like we normally do.
I think the Twitter is going to be taking a night off tomorrow.
Yes.
So will a lot of other people's Twitters, I think, for other Flyers-related podcasts, because yes. I think we'll have some friends that are down there, too.
Yes, precisely. And it's a big deal. But tomorrow, there's a whole lot of fanfare happening for the game. This is all, of course, per the Flyers release on their website, which is all aimed at Giroux, rightfully so. Before the game, the Flyers, they put together a special webpage to mark his 1,000th game, featuring video tributes, his highlights. And there's his own separate website, which you can check out, which is PhiladelphiaFlyers.com/Giroux1000.
Yeah.
But before the game tomorrow night, the Flyers will wear custom T-shirts marking the occasion. And yes, there will be versions of these shirts available for sale so fans can purchase them. During the warm-ups, all players will be wearing Giroux number 28 jerseys. And during the game, each player's specific jersey will feature a custom patch to honor the 1,000th game for our captain.
Yes.
During a pregame ceremony, the Flyers will have Bob Clark, who is the only other Flyers player to play 1,000 games with the franchise. He will be an on-ice participant. Giroux will also be joined by his wife, Ryan, and his sons, Gavin and Palmer. He'll, of course, receive special gifts from the Flyers and the NHL. His wife will receive a gift from the Flyers. His children will receive gifts from the Flyers. And G will also be presented with a piece of custom artwork commemorating significant moments throughout his 1,000 game career. Other details for fans attending the game, and maybe not even attending the game, All fans in attendance will receive a custom limited edition print marking the event by local artist Patrick Higgins, who the Flyers released that print on their social medias today, and it's awesome, and I will most likely be getting that print framed and hanging up in my apartment in future home. I'm grabbing the other one, since Brenna doesn't, we don't need two in our place of our lovely abode. One is going to good friend Pod Street Hoagies, so he'll be getting one. I'm giving them the real setup, real MVP here, humble brag. But we'll get all of those, and then also fans will be able to purchase commemorative tickets, which all the proceeds of those tickets benefits Flyers charity. And then, of course, Giroux's favorite snack, a grilled cheese, will be available to purchase outside sections 107 and 221, as long as in the press row and Center City Club. And, of course, it was leaked today that the grilled cheese will cost $28. While nice and fitting, and I appreciate the humor and pun on Giroux's number, I am not paying $28 for a grilled cheese. But that is all the fanfare and events scheduled for tomorrow evening. And, of course, the game does take place at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time against the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, it's going to be sorry, I was taking care of a text message there with a woman. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Definitely, like you said, not paying $28 for a grilled cheese. I saw somewhere else it's $11, but, like, I love grilled cheese as much as the next guy, but how special can you make a grilled cheese making it worth either $11 or even almost $30? Like, even Giroux said, he was like, I don't even eat grilled cheese before every game nowadays, which was, like, so sad because, like, that truly shows, like, that he's gotten older as a player and as a person, like, because, like, we all obviously get old and it's just, like, life is crazy.
But life happens.
Yeah, there's no cure for Father Time. But yeah, I mean, it'll be cool. Like, when we were talking about this before we started recording too, it'd be nice if there was like a souvenir, like soda cup for Giroux's 1,000th game. Definitely would shell out the money for that because I already have more than enough souvenir soda cups from the Flyers over the years. Probably should get rid of them. But it's like they each have sentimental value somehow.
I tried saying that, but I recently got rid of a bunch of them.
I did too, because some of them were sadly got like moldy. But I had washed them; they were just in storage for a long time. But anyway, it's gonna be awesome. Like we've never seen anything like this before, Dave. As fans, I don't think I was just talking about it with my other friends too. Like, you're obviously a little bit older than me, but like you got to see the playing days of like Lindros and LeClaire and like those type of guys, and like they were obviously successful like as Flyers, and like Lindros obviously now a Hall of Famer. LeClaire is a Hall of Famer, I believe, as well. Yeah, I think.
I know he's in the USA Hockey Hall of Fame. I'm not sure if he's in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but and also too, like throughout our years, I sound like an old guy, but it's like throughout our years as fans, we've seen numerous players come and go. And like, I mean, guys like Simone Gagné, the GOAT, Danny Briere, we've seen Hall of Fame ceremonies, like Flyers Hall of Fame ceremonies for past players.
Mm-hmm.
This is just going to be something completely special and a once in a lifetime thing where we're seeing, I mean, I've grown up legit with Giroux on the Flyers ever since ever since I was young. You like obviously you were younger. Like I'm not calling you old, but like since you're like what, you're 5 years older than me, like 31?
I'll be 31 in May.
Yeah. So
Giroux made his NHL debut, I believe, in the spring or in the winter of 2008. And yeah, I was
13, give or take a year.
I was 16.
Yeah.
Junior year of high school.
Ever since we were teenagers, we've known on the Flyers, the one constant, besides them being mediocre, has been Claude Giroux. And I mean, it's just crazy to think that like this game tomorrow night could very well be one of his last in a Flyers uniform. Obviously, we've talked about it before. The trade deadline for the NHL is on Monday. The Flyers do have a game on Friday night and also on Sunday but no one knows. It's obviously all speculation at this point, but no one knows if after tomorrow Giroux could just say, all right, like, I mean, he was quoted today, like we were saying again before this podcast, that his focus is on playing his game tomorrow and celebrating with the fans, with his family, with everyone, the organization. But after tomorrow's game is when it's all going to kind of set in, I feel, where it's like we're going to be like, damn, like, he may not be here come next week. And it's also crazy, too, because, like, you think about it, like, we both saw Wayne Simmons last game as a Flyer at the Stadium Series.
Yep.
That was emotional because he was such a heart and soul player for this organization. So, like, it's just crazy that we're seeing, and again, we've seen it before, but we're seeing such a huge part of this organization potentially moving on in the next three, four days.
Yeah.
And it'll be emotional because, like, I mean, all good things come to an end, as they say, but we've also said it before where it's like the Flyers sadly have not been able to win a cup since Giroux was here, with their closest chance coming back against Chicago in 2010, and they haven't been back ever since. But I'm hoping if Giroux does get traded that it's like a Ray Bourque situation where, like Ray Bourque went to Colorado, Giroux to Colorado, maybe not confirmed, but that's kind of what we want because Colorado's an absolute wagon. But
and they had just cleared a ton of cap space.
Yes. So, like, the writing isn't on the wall, but it's there. And, like, it would just be, again, you want them to do it with the Flyers, but they're not. I mean, we saw it against the Carolina Hurricanes and the Montreal Canadiens. They're not where they need, not anywhere near where they need to be a cup contender.
Yeah.
And we saw it with Teeminen too. He got traded to the Blackhawks. They won the cup that year. Like, we've seen it with other guy, Richards, Carter, Gagne. Like, it's just sad that obviously every Flyer since 1975, which is insane to say, has had success elsewhere, or just hasn't been successful with the Flyers. They've called it a career, and they've sadly not won a cup. But yeah, I mean, it's just going to be crazy to think that, like, such a mainstay guy is going to be potentially going to be gone after this weekend. And there'll be a hole in the city of Philadelphia, and a hole in our hearts as fans. But, that hole hopefully will be filled. Not to get weird, but the hole will hopefully be filled with seeing Giroux hoist the Stanley Cup. Or at least making another meaningful run at it with potentially a different team.
Yeah, definitely. I am fully prepared to be an emotional in a glass case of emotion tomorrow. I've watched some of the video tributes. Like, the Flyers released that video clip earlier in the week of Giroux watching his media scrum from him making his NHL debut in 2008 and him reacting to that. Like, even that got me going. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
On my personal, like, Flyers Mount Rushmore, you've got, you know, at least four names. You know, it's Eric Lindros, it's Claude Giroux, it's Danny Briere, it's Simone Gagné. And this is a player, I mean, I own multiple Giroux jerseys. And I will, of course, be probably rocking the reverse retro G jersey tomorrow night of the game. And I'll probably get Brenna my black alternate one to wear. but besides, you know, Danny Briere is kind of the player who got me back into the Flyers and kind of resumed my fanhood with the team after taking a bit of hiatus after growing up with Lindros and that era of the team. But ever since really becoming a hardcore diehard fan that I am, Claude Giroux, like you said, Matt, he's been the one constant. Win or lose, good or bad, Claude Giroux has always been a Philadelphia Flyer, and he's been at times one of the best players in the entire world, and he is statistically the second greatest Flyer of all time.
Yep.
I mean, he's got 900 points in right now 999 games. Like, yeah, that's freaking amazing. So it's I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm hoping the Flyers can pull out a win for him. But I'll add up to the list of memorable games that I've got to witness. You know, I got to see Eric Lindros's number get retired. I've been to numerous playoff games, but tomorrow night I'm hoping is a game that I think for I hope for all of our sakes that it's a excellent and proper potential maybe send off to a player who definitely, whenever he does retire from the NHL, whether he gets traded or not traded, re-signs or leaves in free agency, you know, this is a player who I think instantly will have his number retired by the organization, and rightfully so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And even Mike Yeo said at this point, like, Giroux, depending on what happens, obviously, after tomorrow and, like, the next down the road, Giroux could possibly be a Hockey Hall of Famer as well. I mean, he's been a seven-time All-Star, I believe. Seven-time All-Star. He's got the Eastern Conference Championship with the Flyers back in 2010. I'm not sure other accolades, bad fan, I know. But, I mean, there's guys that have made the Hall of Fame, I feel like, for less. And the impact that he's made on the Flyers and just, again, like, playing in 1,000 games. And also, hopefully, he adds a Stanley Cup to his resume before he retires. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Obviously, like you said, Dave, a Flyers Hall of Famer through and through. No doubt about that. But Hockey Hall of Fame, I think, is, like, the only thing that may elude him. But that's... that remains yet to be seen.
Yeah, so I've got up his career accolades here. In the NHL, he's been an All-Star in 2011, 2012, 2015, 2016, 2018, and 2019, and of course, this past year. He was made the NHL's second All-Star team in 2018. They been on the cover of NHL 13 back in the day. He's just been robbed for the Hart Trophy a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
But man, he's broken records set by Lindros, and it is. I'm almost at a loss for words. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think it's gonna truly set in until he's potentially traded, where,
yeah,
like, it's a, like, again, that old saying, you don't know what you have until it's gone. And, like, tomorrow will almost be surreal. There'll be the emotion, but, like, it'll kind of feel, at least me personally, it'll kind of maybe feeling like a kind of like an out of body experience, where it's like, obviously we'll be physically there, but, like, mentally there's just a lot of emotion, like we've already talked about, surrounding the event, where it's going to take a couple of days to process. And then it's like, again, what happens during the trade deadline? It's like, damn, like, it's gone. And it, like, that first game they play without him is going to be
very weird.
Weird. Like, and it's like, because then we truly don't know where this team is going to go.
Yeah. And it's scary, too. The Flyers right now, with G even being one of their best players, just because of their depth and their injury issues, they're a bad hockey team. Yeah. You take Claude Giroux off this team, and they're even worse. So, we'll react if a trade happens, if it even happens. But I mean, I hope you know, this is I think what every Flyers fan probably wishes, is that you trade him at the deadline, you get some assets back to help you build for the future, and then he comes back home and re-signs as a free agent on July 1.
Yeah, I mean, there's as happy and as celebratory everyone will be in of a mood tomorrow. The real pressure is on Chuck Fletcher at this point. To if Giroux does waive his no move clause and wants to go somewhere else besides Philadelphia, the Flyers have to get something worthwhile in return. Otherwise. Yeah. That'll kind of almost overshadow everything, where it's like, oh, like, Giroux, like, you'll mention the quote unquote the black eye of the bad trade, as opposed to every other moment that he's had here for the past decade plus.
But also too, if he decides not to waive his no move clause and he still wants to stay with the organization and play his entire career here, fans are gonna have to. I mean, there's gonna be a large sect of the fan base that's going to be vocally upset about that. Yeah. But at this point, Giroux has earned that right. If he wants to play his entire career here, he's earned that, and that is his decision. And I will actually support it because, you know, I'm not going to ask for one of my favorite players to leave the team. Yeah. So
I think there's going to be – people are going to be upset either way with whatever happens. But it's just, again, like we have to – it's like Billy Madison when he's shaking the kid's head in the movie. You got to cherish it for the love of God. Like, yes. So, like, that's basically where we're at right now. Like, we are the chubby kid in Billy Madison, and, like, life is just telling us to cherish the moment with, like, what we may potentially have left with Giroux here. So, all of that.
That was the perfect analogy there, Matt.
Thanks. All of that trade talk will obviously happen if anything goes down prior to or on Monday. So stay tuned for that, obviously. But we'll transition here and kind of go back in time a little bit, Dave. I've got an article from Bill Meltzer on the Flyers website of 28 memorable moments from Giroux's career as a Flyer. They're in reverse chronological order. So I'm going to start with number 28, and we'll start in the past and then work our way towards the present, if that makes sense. But I guess according to Bill, I think this is a good one to start with. The 30th of December in 2008, Giroux scored his first point in the NHL with an assist in a 3-2 win over the Vancouver Canucks. He didn't get called up right out of training camp with the Flyers, but he spent 33 games with the Phantoms, had 34 points in those games, and was obviously called up to the Flyers just after Christmas, and then notched his first point on the 30th of December of 2008. So, I mean, that was, again, like, just what's it called? You could probably tell he was something special from that. But
wearing number 56 too.
Yeah. And then next one, I think it's going to go down in Flyers history, regardless of just being Giroux or not. But April 11th, 2010, the Flyers need a win on the final day of the regular season.
I think that was Easter Sunday too that year.
Yep. To get into the playoffs.
Oh, man.
I'm getting chills just talking about it. We obviously went to a shootout against the Rangers, and both Giroux and Daniel Briere score against the King Henrik himself, Henrik Lundqvist. Brian Boucher saves the day against Olli Jokinen, and the Flyers are springboarded to the Stanley Cup final. Obviously, painfully lose to the Blackhawks, but... I mean, there hasn't been a more magical run than that in my lifetime, at least, for the Flyers.
That shootout win, I remember that game being so, like, nervous and then just going absolute, like, ape shit crazy after they won the shootout. Like, I ignored the family Easter party to watch the hockey game. And I remember, like, running downstairs at my grandparents' house, sitting in front of an old Panasonic black box television that probably weighs 15 billion pounds on an old Verizon set-top box adapter. This is not in HD, by the way. This is standard definition. Just the memory of just, like, I remember audibly, like, screaming and jumping up and down and running around, like, the room I was in watching the game when they won and when G and Briere scored. Oh, I just want to have those feelings again.
So, I mean, again, it's just like, it's sad. But it's not, it's sad, bittersweet. Again, there's a lot of emotion, but we'll move on. June 2nd, 2010. One of the most historic goals in Flyers history, I'd say.
It's Giroux, in our intro song, the yes. call.
Giroux scores the overtime winner in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, gives the team a 4-3 win, and he had, in 23 games during that postseason, had 21 points, 10 goals, 11 assists, and that kind of just, Bill has it here, quote, it marked his true arrival as one of the NHL's fast-rising young stars, but, I mean, what is it, Mike Emmerich was on the call, Doc Emmerich on the call. Never seen. I obviously, it would have been awesome to be there, but never seen that. Just, I mean, everyone was just going nuts, like completely just a magical run.
We've got we've got the Tim Saunders radio call on our intro song, and it's that's easily one of my favorite all time Tim Saunders calls, and he has. Like, him and JJ have some unbelievable calls. But, man, that his call of his roof scoring that OT winner.
Oh. Yeah. And then January 30th of 2011, his first All-Star game. It's like we're talking about a kid here. Like, oh, it was my first All-Star game. But Drew's first All-Star selection, he was joined by teammate Danny Briere, who at that point, Drew was living in Briere's house. But he did have a goal and an assist in the All-Star game, and during that regular season he won the Barry Ashby Trophy for the first time and enjoyed his first 50 assist season. So he continued his coming out party, and then let's see, I can move, here we go, I'll just kind of scroll through these, but April 22nd of 2012, quote unquote, the shift, the opening shift of Game 6 of the 2012 Eastern Conference quarterfinals against the Pittsburgh Penguins. He lays down Sidney Crosby with a body check and finishes the shift by scoring the game's first goal, sending the Wells Fargo Center into an absolute frenzy. And then he went on to have two assists in the game, and the Flyers wrapped up that series. That was probably the last good playoff series the Flyers had, honestly.
Yeah.
Moving on to 2013, that next year, Giroux was named the 9th captain in franchise history. He's been wearing the C ever since. That season, Kimmo Tiiminen served as an associate captain, while Scott Hartnell and Danny Briere served as alternates. Let's see. I mean, we won't go through all these, but let's see. I'm trying to think of. We got to talk about this. Obviously, just 3 years ago already now, just crazy. At Lincoln Financial Field, Giroux scores the Flyers OT winner to help them win against the Pittsburgh Penguins outside in front of a crowd of like 70,000 people. We've talked about this before, the best game that we've been to, I think, Dave. One of the best sporting events we'll probably ever go to, but just absolutely electric.
Yeah, I mean, those are all great moments there. I can remember each one, like, vividly in my head. Like, I'm watching the play happen in my brain. Another big one of mine that stands out to me is, remember when he had that no-look spinorama goal against the Blue Jackets? That was a huge one to tie the game up in the dying seconds.
Yep.
He had that 102 point season, about 4 years ago, where he should have won the Hart Trophy as league MVP that year, but the NHL was boring and decided to give it to Taylor Hall, the Devils. Boo. Just some key moments there where it's just like there's so many to pick from. It's like you can't even sift through them all of them in your head. But when you hear each one get described, you're like, oh, I remember that play, and here it is. Like, it's something I can visibly like remember, like watching, and could probably describe. Like, if someone gave me like a hockey board and like a dry erase marker to like draw out the play, I could probably do it. All of my top moments got listed there, you know, that shift in 2012. He was even great in that 2011 playoff series against the Sabres in the opening round. The 2010 highlight, that run, though, that just for the team, I mean, 21 points in 23 games as a sophomore in the league, like that was his coming out party. And even in 2012, when Chris Pronger got hurt and they gave him the A, like everyone knew he was going to be the captain the next season. And he had a hell of a year that year playing with Hartnell and Jaromir and Jágr as a line. And man, I wish that team could, that team was a special team too. And if they had just gotten better goaltending, that team could have done something. And Giroux, if he hadn't got suspended in that five-game series against the Devils in the second round, I mean, who knows? I mean, those are some great moments of my Flyers fanhood that hopefully one day I'm saying, oh, yeah, and then after all that, finally, I got to see them win the Stanley Cup. That's, like, the one thing I feel like my fanhood is missing, you know?
Yeah.
And but there are a lot of people in that boat. Like, the only people alive that are Flyers fans, you know, were people who were alive for the Broad Street Bullies era. They're the only ones that got to see a championship. Everyone else has only seen the team get so close and then fall short, which stinks to say, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, even, like, with the Eagles, 4 years ago now, I mean, there's so many people that have been following the team for almost their entire life and never saw a Super Bowl. And, like, to see that, I mean, even for us, like, that's the first Super Bowl we saw for the Eagles, obviously, but it's, like, that's something that we'll never forget. And, like, I mean, if we have kids and all that stuff down the line here, like, in our life, it's, like, that's something that we'll talk about forever.
Oh, yeah, it's just, so, like, even when the Eagles won their Super Bowl, Ray Dinger was on Post Game Live, and his son, who was a cameraman for NBC Sports Philadelphia, like, came in the booth, and they literally stopped Post Game Live so a father and son could have, like, a moment, and they hugged it out on, like, local TV. And hopefully one day that happens for this team.
I was going to say, I mean, that's going to be – it's just – it's insane how, like, how much we love this team and how much we love the sport. Like, we dedicate so much of our time, our life. Obviously, we do this podcast. But, like, I mean, it's – we love to hate them sometimes. But, I mean, we're here with them to the end, the Flyers. And, like, it's just been crazy, and it's going to continue to be that way. Hopefully, there will be more positives down the road here. But – with Giroux getting obviously his 1,000th game in here tomorrow night, it's going to be a true turning point of this franchise, and everyone is just kind of seeing what's going to happen with the trade deadline on Monday and where the team is going to go from here. The season, I think, is obviously lost with the way that they've played for the majority of it, and signing Ristolainen the other day. That's old news at this point. We won't get into that too much. But, yeah, I mean, it's just going to be – it's going to be uncertain times as to where this team is going to go. And we can only hope for the best, as we've done for the past 10 years now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I've got other friends texting me about Giroux, and it's like, doing the pod, guys. Relax.
It's all good. But with that, we can shift focus away from Giroux as much as we would love to talk about him for an hour plus here. But we'll go to a small handful of things around the league. There's a couple trades that have happened, but I think we're just going to kind of wait until that all happens to kind of we'll blanket coverage all that.
The teams that have made trades are two teams that have been linked to already scouting the Flyers and have now made trades in which they are clearing salary.
Yep.
I would prefer he goes to one team versus the other team. But we will, only time will tell.
Exactly. So we'll go over all those trades next week. But, I mean, we did have some newsworthy news in the NHL these past couple of days and over the weekend. I'd say the most important one, though, is Alex Ovechkin has once again moved up in the goal-scoring record book. He put, as Tom Giulietti, sorry Tom if I'm pronouncing your last name incorrectly, but he said from NHL.com, quote, Alex Ovechkin put Jaromir Jagr in his rearview mirror on Tuesday last night and looked ahead only to see Gordie Howe and Wayne Gretzky in front of him. That is Ovechkin's reality after he scored his 767th goal in the third period of a 4-3 shootout win against the New York Islanders in Washington, D.C., and it did move him past Jagr into possession of third place in the NHL goal-scoring record book. Ovechkin was quoted after the game saying, quote, it's pretty cool to pass all those names and legends. It's history. There's only obviously two players that stand between him and the NHL record for goals. And, I mean, it's just been crazy to see this happening day in and day out. But He's within 34 goals of Howe and 127 of Wayne Gretzky. But, I mean, they're not far-fetched things, as Tom put it, for Ovechkin to do, even after 17 seasons in the NHL.
You know, he's definitely going to pass Gordie Howe. And I think he'll pass Gretzky eventually. You know, he is the greatest goal scorer this game has ever seen. So I hope he does it.
Yeah. And then I don't know if you saw Dave Yager put out a pretty funny video congratulating Ovechkin and was like, he was like, I forget what he said exactly, but he's like, I might be coming back to the NHL because I haven't technically retired, so I might be coming for you. Yager's a living legend, obviously. So
you want to come back to Philadelphia, please, Jaromir?
Yeah, that'd be nice. We could definitely use a guy like him. But a little more history being made last night in the NHL. And then we will go to Hamilton, Ontario, the Hammer, as it was being called over the weekend. On Sunday afternoon, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Buffalo Sabres played each other at the usual home, I believe, of the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the CFL, the Canadian Football League.
Yes.
There was a nice America versus Canada theme, as we touched on last week, leading up to the game. The Sabres did win. And then also, one of the main focuses of the game was Austin Matthews getting suspended for two games after cross-checking Rasmus Dahlin in the head. So that was definitely something that, like, I mean, was hard to overlook, but I think it was deserved for Matthews. I hate to say it.
Totally deserved. Yeah. Whether or not it was fair they got suspended or not, because you open up the book of the NHL Department of Player Safety and their inconsistency. Yeah. We've seen worse things not get even a fine this season. But still, at the end of the day, it's a cross-check to the head. I don't care who the player is. They deserve a suspension. Matthews will serve that. He only has one more game left to serve. And then the Leafs will get him back. So, I mean, don't cross-check someone in the head. It's pretty, it's kind of like, duh, dude. You know? Like, I don't care if you're in the heat of battle. Like, you don't go after the head. And apparently, Austin Matthews and his agent pleaded the league that, you know, he was in for the shoulder, but it rode up. No. If you watch the play, he targeted the head on purpose. Like,
yeah.
No one's that stupid to believe that. And of course, they got Leafs fans all up in a tizzy, those stuck up Torontonians. Mm-hmm. That's probably not what you call them at all, but it felt like something fun to say. Torontonians.
Torontonians, I think that's how you would say it.
Oh.
Torontonites?
Torontonites.
Embrace debate. We'll have to look that up off the air.
We'll have to find more funner ways to say Toronto citizens. And I know funner is also grammatically incorrect.
Buffalonians. But yeah,
it was a hell of an atmosphere. The game was, from what I watched, the game was pretty good. I mean, the first period was very choppy because it was snowing, but then once the snow stopped, you know, the game cleared up. But of course, once the snow stopped, I had to go leave for my own beer league game, so I missed the rest of the game. Both Toronto's uniforms grew on me. But still, you know, the Sabres, ever since that Jack Eichel game where he came back with the Vegas Golden Knights and they beat Vegas, Buffalo's like a different team.
Yep.
And they might be, maybe that's the thing they needed to kind of turn that franchise switch around. Because they're getting there. And they've got some top-end talent coming up in their system. But you never know. Time will tell.
Yeah, we're going to get to Eichel's return to Buffalo here in a second, but the both teams' pregame outfits that they arrived to the stadium in were A+, 100%. I think I'm going to give the win to the Sabres, though, because they all showed up.
The Flint Tropics.
The Flint Tropics uniforms, like semi-pro. And then I like that I guess Hamilton is a very industrial city or like a blue-collar city, and it's obviously called the Hammer is the nickname. But the Leafs all showed up to the game in construction gear, hard hats, safety glasses, and work boots.
You know what's funny, too?
Ready to go to work, so to speak.
Exactly. And what's funny, even though the game was played in Hamilton, Ontario, the home team was the Buffalo Sabres.
Huh. I did not know that, actually.
I mean, it's right smack dab in the middle of the two like we addressed on last week's episode. Hamilton's right in between Buffalo and Toronto, and there's plenty of Buffalo fans in that part of Canada. So I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. But we will actually we'll stick with Buffalo, so to speak. Like you mentioned, Dave, Jack Eichel did make his return to Buffalo for the first time since being traded. I'm waiting for my ESPN app to load here. Let's see. So this was last Thursday. But he played his first game against the Sabres since being traded to Vegas on November 4th. But they ended up losing. The Vegas Golden Knights ended up losing 3-1. Let's see. A healthy number. This is from Kristen Shilton from an ESPN NHL reporter. He received a healthy number of boos from the crowd each time he touched a puck. The Sabres did also show a tribute video for him during the first TV timeout, which drew more boos with a mix of applause from the season-high crowd of 12,437 fans. It was Eichel, though, who got the last word. Pretty much put...
Spicy quote.
Went a little bit WWE on the fans of Buffalo.
You mean he didn't say these quotes on 316 Day, but today is 316 Day.
I was
going
to say, given a little stunner on Stone Cold Steve Austin 316 Day, quote, "It's the loudest I've ever heard this place, really. It only took 7 years and me leaving for them to get into the game. It was a nice tribute. There was plenty of people here that were supporting me, and there were plenty of people that were booing me. They might just be booing me because they all wish I was still here. I don't know." So it wasn't just boos, though, that rained down on Eichel, as Kristen points out. But there were fans that had signs greeting him, saying, "Welcome back, Jack," or "Thanks for noticing, Eichel." But someone actually apparently threw a Eichel Sabres jersey onto the ice after the game as well. But it's also, again, to add to the fun of it and the another wrinkle, as Kristen says, both Buffalo players acquired in the Eichel trade, Peyton Krebs and Alex Tuch, did score for the Sabres. Mm-hmm. And Eichel finished -1 with 2 shots on goal and 17 minutes and 31 seconds of ice time. He said, even though it wasn't what he would hope for, he was glad to get the homecoming out of the way. Quote, "I'm pretty happy it's over. Just move on," he said. "It's not an easy game to play in by any means. I'm not going to stand here and say it was. It's frustrating. We wanted to get a win here, and we didn't." So Eichel's homecoming is out of the way. Got a little feisty, though, which is cool. So maybe he probably won't be received very well in the future here.
He just made himself public enemy number one in Buffalo with those comments. Yeah. I get why he said them.
Yep.
But it kind of the whole message he was putting out before the game of, "Hey, I'm not holding any ill will. Let's just move on. Like, it's better for both organizations and me." And then that was his true feelings coming out after a bit of a moment of sore loserness there. You know, he could have, if he'd handled it respectfully and not spoken his mind, you know, maybe they could have moved on and it would have been fine the next time he returned back to Buffalo. But next time Vegas returns to Buffalo next season, he's going to be met with boos. I think the rest of his career there, he's going to be met with boos now for making that move. And then the Vegas Golden Knights, they're on a free fall right now. They might fall out of the playoffs. You know, they've got some big injuries with Robin Leonard being hurt, and they've got other injuries on the team, and they are not getting good goaltending right now from Lawrence Brossoit.
Yeah.
And their other, I forget who they have backing up him right now, but Vegas is on the downfall, and maybe Buffalo's on the start of a little bit of a rise.
Yeah, we'll see. That pretty much does it, I think, for a nice brief around the league, just touching on things. Obviously, we want to keep this episode pretty dedicated to Claude Giroux, we will bow down to him, as Dave was just doing over our Skype call. But it's just going to be, again, it'll be a very special night tomorrow in a lot of ways to see the guy that we've grown up watching hit this milestone, and again, the uncertain future here the next few days. But Dave, as we said before the podcast as well, we were going to pick out each pick a favorite moment of ours from Giroux's career. We probably already touched on both of them, I'll let you go first, and then I'll like we do with a lot of things. I'll probably just piggyback off of what you say.
It's probably my favorite Quadru moment. Number one is the shift from 2012.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely leveling Sidney Crosby, and that's the height of the Flyers Penguins rivalry in recent season. It was leveling him out in the first minute, and then going down and absolutely sniping Marc-Andre Fleury. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was amazing. You got the OT winner in the Cup final against Niemi in Game 3. You've got, you know, his OT winner in the Stadium Series game. Just like it, all things that we witnessed. You know, I'm pretty sure I know the shift. I think we watched that together at Wintersport because we were both working Sunday public free skate.
yeah.
Which is crazy to think, RIP Wintersport. But no, I mean, that's my all-time favorite moment. But witnessing that same series win in a season that was like, we didn't quite know how they were going to finish out the year. Like, there was a chance they could have made the playoffs that season. And of course, they just fell short, like they usually, like they've done in the years past. But that game was like, they still might do it.
Yeah,
they still might do it. Damn it! And it felt good to send all the whiny Yinsbergians,
yeah,
back to the west side in the lesser half of the state.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. I have to take the cliche route and say they've all been awesome. They've all been memorable.
Yes.
Definitely the Stadium Series, I think, in person is one of my favorites. Didn't see the Stanley Cup Final one in person, but, I mean, experiencing that, especially on TV in front of my family and friends, was unreal. There's just been so many with him, obviously, being here for as long as he has, but also just the skilled player that he's been. He's been underrated, I think, and like he has come to the spotlight with things that he's done, and I think he's just in general, especially after winning the MVP in the All-Star game this year, he just seems like he's 100% well respected around the league by other players. They've all like noticed him and they're friendly with him, and like just a great guy, a great player. I don't think anyone deserves to hit this milestone more than him. Probably my bias talking for the Flyers there, but anyone that reaches 1,000 games in the NHL it's completely deserved. It's probably the most physically taxing league to play in, aside from maybe the NFL, but a lot of guys don't have this type of longevity in sports, and to reach something like this is just a true milestone, and just he's going to obviously leave a forever legacy with the Flyers, and wherever he may go from here is just going to be supplemental to what we've already seen from him.
Yeah, and the fact that he's playing 1,000 games, like some players like Wayne Simmonds or Phil Kessel or yeah. Keith Yandel, they do it with multiple different teams.
Patrick Marleau.
Patrick Marleau, another one. Giroux's done it with the same franchise that drafted him. Like, that's an even more rare feat.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think, you know. I didn't think, you know, growing up when I was in high school watching the Flyers call up their high-end first-round draft pick. Not really high-end first-round. He went 22nd overall, and Bobby Clark forgot his name, for Christ's sake, when he went to go draft him.
Yeah.
But I didn't think back then that I would be watching this player for almost 15 years.
Yeah.
And, like, seeing him grow up with me. I can't think of the words. It's just... tomorrow night's going to be special. It's going to be really, really special.
Yeah. It reminds me of that one Stanley Cup commercial when it's like they say, like, there are no words. Like, I mean, we can try and put it into words, but it's just, again, like, it's just, like...
Yeah.
And then everything just kind of comes to mind. Like, it's going to be special, and that's kind of all we can say. So, yeah,
definitely.
As it's been shown and as it's been said, Claude reigns.
Yes.
And he will always continue to reign here, whether he's on the team or not, whether he retires here, go somewhere else and have success. I mean, he's been such a mainstay of this franchise. He will leave a forever legacy, as I said just a couple minutes ago. But we're looking forward to seeing him hit this milestone tomorrow and what else he may have.
Yep, definitely. Did we still want to give our random player of the week, or are we going to save that for Monday night?
We'll save that for Monday.
Because a little teaser for Monday night's episode, we will also be joined by maybe one, maybe two, maybe all four, you never know, by the members of our affiliates, the Pod Street Bullies, Monday evening. So
yes, sir.
Everyone keep an eye out for that.
Deadline extravaganza.
Yes, we will have a lot to talk about. And if it's the six of us, let's love hockey opinions. Crazy things could get said. You never know.
I was going to say, that could get out of hand pretty quick, in a good way, though. I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely. But Matt, anything else to add there, my friend?
Nope, I'm just going to, again, you gotta cherish it.
Yes, gotta cherish it.
My closing statement for the week is you gotta cherish it.
Exactly. Well, with that, we will end it with a hearty Let's Go Flyers. I will see you at the game tomorrow night, obviously,
yes.
And we will talk about it probably on Monday's episode with the Pod Street Bullies, and I'll end it with a, oh, captain, my captain.